When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 348 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
In this
episode.
Oh no, I messed up your line, but we're going to go with it anyway. This episode is sponsored by Kara Lynn.
Thank you, Kara.
Sorry about your episode.
We're
calling this episode.
This is an episode. Okay. Well, today we are going to be discussing part one of chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Bathilda's Secret. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to run for your life through the details. It's so sad. I'm wearing my Deathly Hallows shirt.
Yeah, you did a funny dance upstairs in it.
Flowery Disneyland shirt to give me happy vibes while we record this.
I wore all black. I'm wearing Edinburgh.
Okay, that's fine.
It actually says Hogwarts, but if you're a muggle, it says Edinburgh.
You're so funny.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Oh my gosh, my other husband's here. Would you look at that? It's time for the recap. Sound like Kermit.
It did. You ready?
No.
Yes. You kind of did a Kermit dance upstairs.
Mm.
Look for a reel. Harry and Hermione craft a plan to go to Godric's Hollow. Sort of, because, like, there's always something they forget about. But, you know, that's what happens. Polyjuice potion, the invisibility cloak. It's Christmas Eve. Harry finally gets to visit the statue that is representative of his parents and himself.
Mm.
And they look for Harry's parents in the cemetery, and they find them, plus some of the Dumbledores, and that eye symbol from the Tales of Beedle the Bard. But they still don't know what it means.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Oh, I hope you're all ready for this, because
I'm not.
It's gross. It's real gross.
I told Meg after I read this chapter. Again, I've only read Deathly Hallows once, maybe twice.
No way.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
So when I, like, now that I know, obviously, the end of the story, like, when you're reading this the first time, mm-hmm. you don't know what is going on.
Yeah, it's weird.
You can't fully understand it until the end. Can't firmly grasp it. Until you're done.
Yeah.
And it was still confusing to read again, like, who am I reading from? Okay.
It's gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, the POV is, like, very hard to follow.
Like, it makes sense now, mm-hmm. but it's chaotic.
Yeah. Very chaotic. Let's get into the chaos.
Okay.
So, we just get done looking at destroyed house, statue, all that jazz. And so as they're walking back, Hermione tells Harry to stop. Oh, no, I'm ahead of myself. Sorry, because I did my notes about other stuff. They're walking back from the graves.
Right.
Sorry. My bad. My bad. I thought we were at the super gross part. We're not.
Not yet.
Not yet. So they're walking back from Harry's parents' graves. And so they reach the grave of the unknown abbot relative, and Hermione senses that someone is there watching them. Private eyes are watching you. Is that the, are those the words?
I have zero idea.
I don't know.
I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I got no privacy. That other one is a song too, I think. Somebody look it up for me and I tell me that I'm not wrong. All right. Anyways, so they stop and they stand still, and Harry's looking, but he can't see anything. And they do look suspicious. They're muggles who are laying down flowers on a wizard's grave. So if a wizard was there looking, then they would be like, well, you're not really muggles, are you? You must be wizarding folks. So this thought and quote, I think, from Harry isn't as well known as so many others. And I feel like it goes by the wayside, but I feel like it's very important to point out. Because Harry, at this point, I mean, he is so desperate. He feels so lost in the Horcrux hunt and just everything. He needs some sort of guiding grown-up person figure. And he thinks... Quote, Harry thought of a history of magic. The graveyard was supposed to be haunted. What if? And then it's cut off. So he, in this moment, is hoping that his parents would be there as ghosts. And I feel like nobody ever talks about that quote. And it's very, very sad.
It is sad.
But they would never become ghosts. And I think he finally realizes that a little bit later. It's like... Dumbledore and Harry says, no, he would never be a ghost. He will have gone on. And Ron's like, on to what? And then Harry's like, well, whatever the heck is next. A train station.
Yeah, King's Cross.
King's Cross. So Harry tells Hermione that it's got to be a cat or a bird or something, and that they'd be okay. Because if it was a Death Eater, they'd probably both be dead. But no, actually not really, because Voldemort wants him alive.
Where's Crookshanks right now? Is he staying with the Weasleys?
I assumed.
I don't know.
Because that's where Hermione was before they left. So I kind of just assumed, yeah, he was there.
Okay, that's a good place for him to be.
I never really thought about it, to be honest. And I'm really sorry.
He could chase the little gnomes.
Yeah, he would be happy.
And the chicken.
Do you want to know what's interesting? Is that they say, like, Harry's like, if it was the Death Eater, we would be dead. But, like, it's actually is so much worse than that.
You're so right. Oh, no. Technically, is Nagini a Death Eater?
I don't know.
Can you brand a snake with that mark?
Wait, is she a Horcrux yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess, okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
She is, but they, A, don't know that she is.
Yes.
And B, she's doing his bidding because Voldemort doesn't know that they're hunting them yet. Because Dumbledore told Snape, you need to tell Harry your tale, this whole story and what his purpose is once Voldemort starts fearing for the life of his snake and bringing her everywhere. So he's just like, I don't care. You're a creature that can make your own decisions. Go on, be free. Carry me with you. What a gamble. All right.
Truly.
So Harry didn't feel as confident as he was letting on, but he had to get himself and Hermione out of this situation, right? We've got to go. We got to figure out where Bathilda is. So they pull the invisibility cloak over themselves, and they head out. And the pub is really crowded now. Remember, it's Christmas Eve. And... for a moment, Harry's like, maybe we can go inside there, take a little refuge from the cold. But Hermione instead leads them down a dark street in the opposite direction. of the way that they entered into the village. And I wonder if she looked at a map and knew exactly where she was going at this point. So it was at the far edge, and Harry could see where the cottages ended and the countryside started. And I just think that this would probably be an absolutely stunning spot for a house.
I would love to see Godric's Hollow.
I know. And so he's just like musing on, like, right now where they're going to find Bathilda's house. And this is when Hermione spots something really important. And I'm going to read from the chapter. Quote, he could see it. The Fidelius charm must have died with James and Lily. The hedge had grown wild in the 16 years since Hagrid had taken Harry from the rubble that lay scattered amongst the waist-high grass. Most of the cottage was still standing, though entirely covered in dark ivy and snow. But the right side of the top floor had been blown apart. That, Harry was sure, was where the curse had backfired. He and Hermione stood at the gate, gazing up at the wreck of what must have been a cottage just like those that flanked it. And it's a wonder that, I mean, if Voldemort wouldn't have had Horcruxes, he would have died.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it was blown apart.
Yeah. I think a lot of the times people don't think about the destruction that, like, magic like that can bring to, like, a house, you know? Because, I mean, like, you're thinking...
like Bombarda, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a bad thought.
What?
Here we go.
I'm sorry.
Lay it on me. Make me sad.
Well, Lily was up there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it did anything to her body.
Oh.
The explosion.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. I've been watching war documentaries lately. Makes me sad. I'm sorry.
And I kind of would assume if it did that to the house.
I guess it would depend on where she was. But
Harry was okay.
But he had the protection.
Oh, true.
He was like in a little bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of envision it. Sorry, everybody.
Thanks,
so,
Debbie.
Tell me, Debbie. Hermione, like, wonders out loud why nobody has rebuilt it. But Harry counters with something I think is really accurate, that maybe because of the dark magic, it can't be rebuilt, like his scar can't be healed. But I also think that it's definitely left as a testament to what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's both.
I think both, too.
You know?
Yeah. Quote, he slipped a hand from beneath the cloak and grasped the snowy and thickly rusted gate, not wishing to open it, but simply to hold some part of the house. Oh no, am I going to cry today?
His house. Like.
He could have had a life.
Yeah.
Was it, I don't know if it was last chapter or a couple ago, like him, like, thinking about, like, I would have grown up there. Maybe I would have had brothers and sisters. Like, yeah. So sad.
Yeah. And you have to also think, like, his floating hand is out there. And this is how Nagini's like, oh. Under your wrapper, Potter, you know what I mean? They know he has an invisibility cloak. She must have known it was him. Because when she goes into Bathilda's house and he finally gets Harry alone, are you Potter? Is what she says. Mm-hmm. So this is must be how she would have known.
I wondered if she sensed the Horcrux.
That could be it too. That could be it too, because when they're grappling with each other later on, the Horcrux locket is reacting.
Literally jumps.
Yeah, it's going nuts. It's reacting. Okay. So at his touch, some magic happened. A sign had risen out of the ground, and there were golden letters upon it. Did I write this? What? How beautiful. A tribute, a love letter, a promise of a better life, and a reminder. Oh my God, I'm a poet.
Tiffany. You didn't even know it.
I didn't even know it.
Oh my God. Did I write this?
I did. That's meaningful.
From poetry to God rest ye merry hippogriffs.
I'm just an eclectic mix.
One with a talent for words.
I'm a wordsmith, if you will. Quote, on this spot, on the night of 31 October 1981, Lily and James Potter lost their lives. Their son, Harry, remains the only wizard ever to have survived the killing curse. This house, invisible to Muggles, has been left in its ruined state as a monument to the Potters and as a reminder of the violence that tore apart their family. Straight to the point. I mean, obviously we were right a little bit earlier. But I also think, I don't know if it could be repaired in any kind of way. Mm-hmm. If they even were to try. So around this formal sign that I assume was done by the ministry were messages old and new from his fellow wizarding kind. They said things like, "Good luck, Harry, wherever you are. If you read this, Harry, we're all behind you. Long live Harry Potter." Hermione, being Hermione, says that they shouldn't have written on the sign. But Harry loves it. And he says that it's brilliant. And he's glad that they did. And he's beaming and I'm crying. Okay. Mm-hmm. But like, before the horribleness that's about to happen in the next few pages, like, this is something that scooped him up, you know? He desperately needed some sort of a win.
He did. Like, he lost Ron. He's holding on to Hermione by, like, a string, he feels like.
Yeah.
And he, like, needed some sense of someone is behind him.
I like that it's pointed out that there's, like, new, shinier writing on top of older writing, too. So, like,
what a risk. What a risk to take.
Yeah.
To come in to write that in the times that they're in, you know, during this war. To show solidarity with undesirable number one.
Especially you got Sakamit Nagini down the street. Who knows what she's going to do?
Things that I said today were nowhere near a sack of meat.
It's your wife. I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the grossest thing that happened. Well, that's next chapter, actually. Next episode.
Yeah, next episode. But yeah, so it's just like this small moment of happiness before everything is just a mess. A mess. Another mess.
Yep.
Another fiasco. Because how many of them happen in this book? He does.
Like, this is a big mess about to happen.
Yeah, it's a very big mess.
We got a big, big mess on our hands tonight. You remember that song?
Yeah. Well, who is that?
The Academy is.
That's right.
Oh.
So.
It's a bop.
Ugh. He breaks off from like what he was saying and begins to hear / notice this like heavily muffled sound because someone is hobbling up towards them.
Because a snake's trying to walk with legs and it's weird.
Yeah. Harry thinks that it's a woman. and he's assuming that the way that she's moving is because she's trying not to slip on the ice. And he said her stoop, her stoutness, her shuffling gait all gave an impression of extreme age, a.k.a. death.
I was going to say, well, she ain't getting any better. Back to work.
So she comes and stands a few yards from them. And Hermione, like, pinches Harry's arm. And he's basically like, yeah, I can see that she's there. But they are under the invisibility cloak. They shouldn't be able to be seen at all. And I was like, this is where I put in my notes. Like, was Nagini just sensing a horcrux and knew that it was Harry?
Yeah.
But I also like what you said. Like she could have potentially seen his hand out of the invisibility cloak. I didn't think about that.
You're welcome.
So it could be that or a combination of both. But Harry had the feeling that she knew that they were there. Because this was like odd behavior, what she was doing. Not only like just coming and standing right where they are, basically, but like at night in the cold, staring at this ruin. Like, they know that she's not a Muggle because why else would she be down here staring at this house?
Yeah. Why are they judging? Maybe that's what she does on Christmas Eve.
I guess. But the woman beckons them with her hand, and Hermione is like, how does she? And he just shakes his head. And she beckons them again. There are many reasons to not follow this woman who they didn't know.
Yeah.
But Harry is desperate to know who she is. And he just, like, has this feeling that he needs to follow. Like, what if Dumbledore told her to wait for them? What if This was all part of a grander plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we just read this in Sorcerer's Stone, but this is the summation of Harry Potter. Harry was about to do something very brave and very stupid.
Yeah. Yep, you know? Literally. Yeah. I love that we're listening to Philosopher's Stone together.
That's cute.
Anyway.
Me too.
And Harry thinks in his head, even her ability to sense them suggested some Dumbledore-ish power that he had never encountered before. And that's where I was like, is that the Horcrux? You know, like, not only is she sensing the locket, but she's sensing Harry. And I don't even think that anybody, like Nagini or Voldemort, realizes why they can sense Harry the way that they do. But, like, it's more than likely the fact that he's a Horcrux. Mm. So Harry finally speaks and goes, are you Bathilda? And she nods. Now, he's still under the cloak.
Liar. Right?
Sorry, go ahead. Is he?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't take it off until he's inside her house.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I thought.
I'll look it up. You keep going.
Okay. So Harry looks to Hermione for, like, confirmation that they're on the same page. And she does look incredibly nervous here, but she does nod. So, you know, she gives in to his crazy, stupid idea. And Bathilda leads them down past several houses. Now, once they're inside, the first red flag is that she smells really bad, or perhaps it's her house. Either way, red flag. Okay. They took the cloak off once inside her house. I found it. I guess I put that in my notes. Her knuckles, this is from the book.
Yeah, beneath the cloak, Harry and Hermione looked at each other. So, you're good.
Her knuckles blew and mottled against the peeling paint, then turned and peered into Harry's face. Her eyes were thick with cataracts and sunken into folds of transparent skin, and her whole face was dotted with broken veins and liver spots. There was an odor of old age, dust, unwashed clothes, stale food. Harry Potter, these are all red flags.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's like, Mrs. Fig's house smelled. Is this just the way it is?
But like
is this.
Is this
just the way it is? I don't know.
There's so much more than what Mrs. Fig had going on.
I agree, but this is Harry Potter.
Another red flag is that the Horcrux around his neck was beating like it had just woken up.
I changed my mind. Bye. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But Harry senses that this is maybe because the thing that can destroy it was near, which I guess is not necessarily.
It does put up
a horrible conclusion to come to. Like, that does make sense.
It does put up a fight. I'll give him that.
So here's where Hermione finally says she's not sure that this is right. And Harry just reassures her. And then Bathilda finally speaks and says from the other room, come.
Come. Okay, but did she actually say that, or did she say it in parcel tongue?
I don't think so.
Yes, she does.
Even there?
Yep.
Because I thought she didn't start speaking parcel tongue until they went upstairs.
No, Harry says it after they get back into whatever the other forest they go to.
But wouldn't Hermione have heard that then?
All she hears is grumbles.
I'm wondering if...
And she's also looking around.
Yeah, and at this, when she speaks, she gasps. So I wonder if she, like, heard just, like, a noise and was like, what?
Okay.
The actual.
It's okay. Crystal tongue, trust me.
Okay.
Nagini can't speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
I just didn't know if she, like, mimicked the sound of the word come or something. You know what I mean?
Like Ron's hash hasa?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe.
I mean,
like Ron's hash hasa.
I mean, he does.
He does. So. All right. So here goes Bathilda, not Bathilda. Nathilda?
What?
Bagini?
I like Bagini.
Did we say that before?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I like Bagini.
It sounds like Bagheera.
Yes! Oh, I love Bagheera, even though he's a stuffy old coot.
You're not wrong.
Hey, baggy. Right.
Maybe we call her that.
Yeah, Baggy. They called her Baddie, so why not?
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating, but now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So she's tottering around lighting candles, not with magic, with flame.
Matches, yeah.
Red flag.
Uh-huh. And even with the candles.
Just say that the whole night. Red flag.
Red flag.
It's still dark in there, even as she's lighting these candles.
Her candles look like ours.
Right? They ran out of battery. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it's extremely dirty in there.
Red flag.
Thick dust crunched under their feet. Is this snow?
Red flag.
Red flag.
Crunched.
Red flag.
I don't think I've ever experienced dust crunching.
That's a lot of dust.
She's been dead for a while.
Do you know how long she's been dead?
A while.
Is it like right after Rita's book interview thing that she did with her?
I mean, it had to have been close to then. Rita wrote her book, what, in like 4 months?
It was something crazy fast.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. So, also, Harry didn't just smell like this dank and mildew smell, which, first of all,
bad.
That's not pleasant. There's something underneath that that's worse that smells like meat gone bad.
Red flag!
Bag of meat! Na 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 bag of meat, a bag of meat.
Literally, Bathilda just stinking up the place, right? Not her fault.
Not her fault.
So he wonders, like, when's the last time someone came to check on her and see how she's coping, which is, like, really kind of Harry, you know? I feel like the elderly aren't thought of much, you know? And it's just, like, do you hear those sad stories of, like, there's an elderly person living alone,
mm-hmm.
their light bulb goes out, they can't climb up on a ladder to fix it, they don't have anyone, so they just, like, go to bed when it gets dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's sad stuff. Like, you need somebody.
I know. It also makes me sad to think about the fact that, like, Harry could have been someone to Bathilda.
Yes. I mean, like, mm-hmm. they had birthday tea with her, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Like, I bet she would have been, like, who, like, Grandma Green was to you, Meg.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the totally. Neighbor who, like, turns into your
mm-hmm.
pseudo-grandma.
Yeah.
We had a neighbor like that. I think I've talked about her on the podcast before. Her name was Ethel.
Yeah, we both were. Mine was Eleanor and yours was Ethel.
I would cuddle her and fall asleep and take naps on her, and she had Legos and I would play with the Legos.
We would garden together.
Just a good person.
Mia said, "Grandma Batty and Baby Harry, thanks y'all in the Honey Nut Filios."
Yeah,
Honey Nut Filios. truly though, like, imagine the story she would have told him.
I know.
He would have known so much about Hogwarts. He would have been right? more trouble than he just about ended the Wizarding World in general.
Oh gosh, I was so wrong about the timeline. She wrote this 4 weeks, in the matter of 4 weeks after Dumbledore's death in June. So from June to
the end of July. I mean, she probably finished it around Harry's birthday.
So she must have talked to Rita in those four weeks. So when from after June to Christmas?
6 months.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it could have been any.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I bet it was whenever, somewhere around like when the ministry officially, like they knew that they were taken over. You know what I mean?
They are coming.
Anyway. Were you going to say something, babe?
Somewhere online says that she died sometime in the weeks following the book's publication.
So at the ministry had a copy. And then there must have been enough time from the time that they were broken into the ministry and Harry sees it on the shelf of Umbridge's desk or bookshelf or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Rita had time to drop a copy off at Bathilda's.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have been alive then, I would hope.
Yeah.
December. Oh, so you think, the internet thinks it's pretty recent. December, and we're currently in December.
I wonder why. Though. Either way, it doesn't, if you're queasy, you might want to skip ahead 30 seconds. Doesn't take long for a body to decompose.
Wikipedia just says that they believe she was murdered in the second half of 1997. So,
I mean, that just means after June.
Right.
Like we said.
So there's no real.
How long would he have been okay with being away from Nagini?
I don't know.
I don't know.
She was at least
124. Woo!
Well,
that's old.
Yeah.
Pour one out for Bathilda.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. So you brought up the fact that like decaying bodies, but I think that there's a certain magic that surrounds whatever Voldemort did.
Yeah.
I would agree. When he did this magic with Nagini.
I'd agree. Okay. Back to this unfortunate part of the chapter. So Harry's thinking like, when has someone checked on her? Rita did say that, like, people call her bad. Was it Rita or Muriel? Someone said that she's a little off her rocker. Like, they call her bad.
Gaga. That was Muriel.
It was Muriel.
Yeah, Gaga. And then he's thinking, oh, she seems to have forgotten how to use magic, too, because she's lighting these candles by hand. She's being very clumsy. Like, the cuff of her shirt is going to set on fire at any moment now. So he goes, here, let me do it. And starts finishing lighting around the room. And just to, like, you know, build the scene a little bit more, the room is, like, it's got all these stacks of books that are all, like, haphazardly stacked. And there's side tables full of cracked and moldy cups, which is basically just a teenager's room. And he lights the last candle, and it's near a bunch of pictures. They're too dusty to see, so he uses Tergio. Tergio?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've heard this before.
Yeah, we've heard it before.
Okay, but it's also known as the wiping spell, so I wonder if you use this.
Like, Ron did it on the rags he was cleaning the oven with, and then he gave it to Hermione to wipe her nose. It's a gentleman.
But is this, like, a good poop spell?
Poop spell?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's called the wiping spell.
Oh. Catherine.
But, yeah, it's a cleaning spell. Kind of like the scouring charm. And in Latin, T-E-R-G-E-R-E, it means to rub off, wipe off, wipe dry, wipe clean, cleanse. Way to go, Harry. So that clears the dust immediately, which if I had that in my life, oh my God, that'd be amazing. He notices that half of the pictures are missing. Thanks, Rita. but she didn't give you permission to do that. And he notices a picture in the back and he grabs it, and it's the what he's been calling this merry-faced thief. And it's the young man that he saw in that vision with Grigorovich, where he stole something and jumped out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally remembers where he saw this kid before, because he's been trying to figure it out. And it was in The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, arm in arm with a teenage Dumbly. And he figures out, okay, all these missing photos are from Rita's book. So he tries to ask Bathilda, who is this boy? She doesn't answer. He asks again, like, he's asking a bunch of different ways, like, please, this is important, like, do you know who this is? He's trying to be, like, loud, because maybe she's old and can't hear him. Hermione even tries, and, like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And Harry feels frustrated, because he's like, how was Rita Skeeter able to unlock all of Bathilda's memories? Probably in a pretty sketch way, I'm guessing. I don't really think she handed over all that information about Dumbledore willingly. But obviously she doesn't talk, because she'll speak Parseltongue. Mm-hmm. But she keeps gesturing to Harry to come upstairs with her, but she wants him to go alone. And Hermione's like, why? Like, I don't want to split up with you. I don't like the vibes in here.
Yeah.
But I Harry's feel bad,
because,
like,
Hermione is totally terrified right now.
Oh, yeah.
And Harry is just like, no, it's fine.
I know. It's a mess.
No, Hermione, it's supposed to be just me. It's okay.
He's like, what if Dumbledore told her to only give me the sword? She's like, fine, be quick about it. And he tells her to lead the way. And next part of this chapter we're going to get to is real creepy.
Can't wait.
But we get more to red there.
Flags.
Red yawn.
All right. Lightning bolt questions. There were some good ones. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, I pulled one that I didn't know where to put, so I put it in Discourse. Mm-hmm. Can I read that while you look for stuff?
Yeah.
Marguerite said, do you think Nagini felt alive to walk again, if her being a maledictus is canon?
Oh, maybe.
And I was like, dang, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. It is canon.
It is canon.
It is canon.
But, like, that's...
Whether you like it or not, kids! Mm-hmm.
I just didn't make that sort of connection.
Yeah.
That was...
I mean...
Interesting.
To an extent, probably, yeah.
Dustyfur asks, would you write something on the post for Harry and his parents?
Sure would.
Yeah. If yes, what would you write?
Oh, I almost said something. Shouldn't say that. It's not that podcast.
I would keep it short.
Yeah.
But probably just, like, we're with you, or... Yeah. I liked the long live Harry Potter.
This. Yeah.
Of course. It's Taylor Swift. Maybe, like... Yeah.
You're the chosen one.
Warmest long regards.
Live. All the magic we made.
Yeah.
Aww. I had the time of my life fighting dragons with you.
Stop.
Yeah, something along the lines of, like, we're with you, or keep on keeping on, Harry.
Yeah.
Gil asks, what living or recently deceased characters from the books do you think would choose to be ghosts? Mm. I kind of think that the Weasley twins... could. Like, I'm kind of surprised Fred didn't.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be sweet if Fred decided to, like, be a ghost at Hogwarts?
And yeah.
Teamed up with Peeves, and it would just be, like, chaos.
I know. That's, I kind of, yeah, I don't know. Anybody else?
I could see if Sirius had that choice, but the veil makes me feel weird about it. Like, how much of, we're like, but maybe he would have gone on, because he felt like Lily and James would have.
He wanted to go see them.
Yeah.
He does come back for Harry, so I believe he did go on.
He did go on. I don't
know if he'd be able to, like, be called back if he was in some sort of weird...
I just wonder if the veil doesn't... If it's so... I don't know.
I don't like the veil.
The veil just makes me feel weird about, like, do you get a choice, or is it just like, no, you're over the side of this?
Mm, right.
But, like... I don't know. The veil, man. Who else?
I want to say Colin Creevy for some reason. I could see him
I literally was going to say that.
I could see him, like,
and I
wanting
don't...
to welcome new students, and I know.
It only makes me think that because maybe he just... Not saying that choosing a ghost is just, like, awful, but, like, he doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
To to choose to go on to make that decision because he's so young? Like, is that 15, a thing with 14, ghosts? 15? Maybe. He's little. But also, maybe he feels like his unfinished business is at Hogwarts and that's where he wants to be.
Yeah.
He could be the camera ghost.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Michigan McKenna, in a world where Harry grows up normally, who would teach him his first swear? Remus accidentally or Sirius intentionally?
Sirius.
I want to say Sirius, but I'm going to say Remus because it would just be so great.
I think it would be Remus on accident.
Because wow. Everyone would be like, what the actual, like, we knew it would be Sirius. Why is it you?
And then the Harry would like, and like Harry would just like parrot it back. Like it would just be like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think Sirius would be upset. And then be like, I wanted
Sirius
to,
would be sad yeah, about it.
I wanted to teach him his first F-bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Mia said it'd be Lily.
It probably would be.
I love that.
Courtney asks, would you have followed Bathilda?
No. I wouldn't have been in a girlfriend's house. Are you kidding?
No. I would have been like, I know it's
I would have been
cold
like,
outside, but I ain't going in there.
Hermione, it's time to apparate now.
Seen enough. Bye.
All right, I'm going to ask one more.
Janine, heck to the no.
True, true.
Dusty Fur, what do you think would have happened to Harry if he'd touched Bathilda? Would she have disintegrated?
No.
I don't think so. I think that there was some sort of magic holding her together.
Unfortunately. Like Sally's seams.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of gross, but...
Sally. Gone again!
She's just full of leaves.
Okay. Discord discourse. Michigan McKenna, you could say Nagini is Voldy's emotional support animal.
You could. You could say that.
Michigan McKenna again. Nagini, meaty bits.
Yeah.
And Amy Lou Mary Sue, Sack of Meat Persode. What a great title.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Gross.
And on that note, it's time for our fan story.
Yay!
Let's do it. Okay. So this fan story comes from Courtney Rogers.
Courtney! You're in the chair.
Courtney! Hi, Tiff, Megan, and Katie. Hi. I figured after 5 years of listening.
Oh, my Lord.
It was about time to send in my Potter story. I'm Courtney from Nova Scotia, Canada. I'm a proud Hufflepuff. Yeah! My Patronus is a Bloodhound, and my wand is Cherry Wood with a Phoenix Feather Core. 10¾ inches with a slightly yielding flexibility. You have Bloodhound, Cherry Wood, and Phoenix Feather Core. Is your favorite color red?
Yeah.
Where to begin? I remember always being a huge fan of the Harry Potter series, and I really can't recall a time when I wasn't obsessed with this series. My dad introduced me to the series in the early 2000s. Sadly, I missed seeing the first film in theaters. However, I do remember vividly going to see Chamber.
Mm.
I told my dad after the movie that my favorite part was when Hermione came back, and my family still brings it up all the time. I lost with Potter in high school and university, being too busy with school and trying to, quote, be cool. I took a semester off in second year of uni to better my mental health, and that was when I fell back in love with the series. Similar to many other listeners, the series is a comfort book, always there for you when you need to escape reality. It is really mind-blowing how a book series can do that for you. Now I feel that Swish is also a comfort for me, and I tend to tune into old episodes when I need a friend or just want to laugh.
Okay.
Are you crying a little bit?
It makes me emotional.
I found this podcast in late 2019 and became a Patreon member when I caught up during the pandemic. It was great to be caught up listening in live and talking to everyone on Discord. I am grateful for that time. Mm. Ladies, I really want to thank you. Thank you for creating this incredible community. Thank you for all your hard work on managing this podcast. Thank you for all the laughs, the good times, and walking us through all the hard times. Because of this podcast, I have learned to be proud to be a Puff.
Oh,
I know. Because of you three, I have learned that it is okay to have anxiety.
Yes, it is.
It's fine. It is okay to be fully yourself and not to dull your shine to fit into other boxes, others' boxes. You have taught me that it is okay to be very passionate about a wizard named Harry, that there are so many people out there like me who love the series as much as I do. Thanks again from your friend in Canada.
Aww. Courtney. Aww.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Now I'm all in my honey nut feelios.
Oh my god.
My honey nut feelios.
That's what Mia said before.
I know, I love it.
She did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I must have missed that.
About Grandma Batty and Baby Harry.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that in the chat.
Courtney, that was beautiful.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you so much.
I always enjoy seeing you in Discord.
Yes.
And when your story came through, Tiff was like, Courtney's our historian. We gotta read it.
I did. I texted right away. I was like, we have to read this one now.
So thank you so much. I'm going to go cry now. Truly. Like, anytime any listener says thank you to us, it's like, no, thank you to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so sweet. We appreciate it so much. And now I'm going to read a joke so we don't cry. But we might cry because the joke's so bad. We'll see.
Oh.
All right. What was I going to... That is not what I wanted. Nope. Wrong bookmark. Okay. Can wands interact with one another? Of course they can.
Oh my gosh.
Cute. If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram at TiffSwish_flick. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that we got a bingo.
No, there wasn't a bingo.
No bingo.
Were you guys playing, you butts?
And the house cup standings are...
Here we go.
Slytherin with 5,000 points.
Slytherin is in first place. Woo-woo, snakes! Gryffindor's in second, Ravenclaw's in third, and Hufflepuff is in fourth. Congratulations, Slytherin.
Woo.
Yes, woo!
Well done, Slytherin. Well done, Slytherin.
However. I gave points all across the people today.
Me too.
To every house. Is that all?
Yeah, that's it. What's this episode for?
Courtney.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Courtney.
This and one's Hufflepuffs. For Courtney and Hufflepuffs.
And Slytherins for being in first place in the House Cup.
And for being yourselves, but not the Slytherins. Okay, that concludes. I'm just kidding. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the Muggles get you down. Meatbag Mathilda. Meatbag Mathilda. Ooh. She's a bag of meat and she's got snakes.
Don't she go stinks in like feet.
I was like, how much of this are you gonna sing?
Keep going.
I don't know anymore.
Meatbag Mathilda. I'm gonna sing that and be like, what am I? Oh god.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.